Now, does the Poritz know that this Yiddish man who owns the store is the husband of the lady that he kidnapped? Even though she wasn't a kid, but he locked her up in the tower. Does he know that this man is the husband of the lady who jumped out the window? Does the Poritz know that?
No.
No, he does not know that. He does not know it. No, he doesn't. Shh. And now, of course, the husband of the lady who is working in the store is listening now to the Poritz telling him that the coat that his wife had in her house, in their house, this is the Poritz's coat. The Poritz, this is the same Poritz that's coming to buy a new coat. And the Poritz is very upset. And the man, of course, is not saying anything. I'm so upset. That coat, not only was a good coat, but that coat was my hiding place, and it's gone. I got stolen from my palace, it got stolen from my castle. It got stolen from my castle, my coat, and my hiding place. And of course, the man pretends he doesn't know anything, and he says, what do you mean? A coat is a coat, not a hiding place. You can't hide inside of a coat. No, the poet says, I don't hide inside of the coat. I hide special things inside of my coat. That's what I do. That coat was my hiding place. I was always afraid somebody would break into my castle when I'm gone and take things. Because, you know, I have good things, especially gold and jewels and special things like that. And I'm always afraid, you know, if I'm gone, they might come into the castle and take things. So I wanted to have a hiding place. I used to hide it inside of my coat. And I figured either I would be wearing the coat, or if I'd leave it hanging in the castle somewhere, nobody's going to think to look in the coat. And even if they look in the pockets, they're not going to find it, because my hiding place was sewn into the coat itself. And now it was stolen. Somebody stole it from my castle. Now, did somebody really steal it from the castle? No. Because, you know, the woman took it to save her life. But the poet says, I need a new coat. I want a new, big, heavy, lamb's wool coat like my other one. And the man sells the poet a new coat. And the poet goes bye-bye in the wagon. And the man goes home and he tells his wife exactly what had happened. And that inside of this coat was a hiding place. And probably that was why it was so heavy. And they were so excited. And Kinalach, he opens up the coat. And inside the coat, he finds golden coins. Full with golden coins. And Kinalach, the man, got so excited. And of course, he saw such hashkacha pratis. He wanted to go tell the Rav about what had happened. And of course, maybe he says, why did this whole thing happen in the first place? You know, it could have been very bad. He wants to tell the Rav what happened. Maybe he has to fix something in his Torah mitzvahs. Who knows? You know, if a dangerous thing happens, you have to check your mezuzahs. Sometimes you have to check your tefillin. You have to do tshuva. Give tzedakah. Who knows why things happen? But you think to yourself, maybe there's something I have to do to fix, to make things better. And you know who the man went to? Reb Naftali of Poizen. Remember Reb Naftali? Reb Naftali, who is the Rav of the nearest big town of Poizen, the man who went to him. Now remember, this is the man that married the lady. And who was the lady? The daughter of the hotel man that Reb Naftali himself almost married. Remember that? And of course, this man does not know who Reb Naftali is and what happened a long time ago. All he knows is Reb Naftali is a big tzaddik, and he's the Rav of the nearest big town of poison. And he goes and he tells Reb Naphtali the whole story, which of course you already know, and I don't have to tell you again, because you were listening to the story, and if you listen, you know the story. Shh. And Reb Naphtali smiled and he says, if you go and count up the golden coins, you're going to find exactly 500 golden coins. And the man said, oh yes? I actually didn't count up exactly how many golden coins. And he says, you know what? Why don't you bring the coat here and let's count up the golden coins. And sure enough, the man went home. He brought the coat. They poured out all the golden coins. They counted up the golden coins. Do you know how many golden coins they counted up? Exactly.
500.
500 golden coins. And the man asked Reb Naphtali, how did you know that in the coat of the parrots was exactly 500 golden coins? And Reb Naphtali smiled and he says, this is actually the end of a very long story. Part of the story you told me, and part of the story I'm going to tell you. And Reb Naphtali tells him that when he was a little kid, Reb Naphtali tells him the beginning of the story that you already know, how he was a little boy. And he got in trouble throwing the rock. And he was taken in the black wagon. And he stopped by the hotel. And the hotel man saved him from Igor, who was driving the black wagon. And Reb Naphtali said, the hotel man who saved me paid a lot of money to the driver of the black wagon. And I asked him before I left the hotel how much money it was, because I wanted someday to pay him back. I knew it was a lot of money, and I didn't want him just to spend a lot of money for me. I wanted to pay him back. But he refused. He wanted the mitzvah pidyon shvuim. But I asked him to please write it down on a piece of paper. And I still, to this day, have that piece of paper. And Reb Naphtali opens up a drawer. He takes out a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it says, I, the hotel man, paid to Igor, the driver of the black wagon, 500 golden coins to help Naphtali get away. Now, Kinalah, Reb Naphtali smiles and he says, do you know what happened to Igor, the wagon driver? He stopped being a wagon driver because now he had a lot of money. He bought a castle. He became a paretz. And that paretz who was in the castle and he became very rich. Do you know who that paretz was? Igor, the wagon driver. He was the one who became the paretz. And he had sewed into his coat, in a hiding place, 500 golden coins. And now those 500 golden coins came now to the husband and the wife. And she was the daughter of the hotel man. In other words, Hashem made a very interesting way, according to Hashgacha Pratis, that in this way the hotel man was paid back the 500 golden dollars because now it came to his daughter who had married the man that had brought the coat to Reb Naphtali. And that, Kinalach, is the end of the story. It's a nice vlog. I heard this story from somebody who knows the family that it happened to. This is the story. Listen carefully. It's an amazing story. Shh. This story starts in a supermarket. A lady has a lot of things she bought in a supermarket. Her wagon is full, and now she goes to pay. And it takes a long time to take each thing off and give it to the cashier. And each thing, you know, gets marked how much it is in the machine. And the lady pulls out a very long paper of all the things she bought. And during this time, there were many people in line behind the lady because it was a very crowded supermarket and there were not that many lanes open to go pay. So a lot of people are waiting and they're impatient because they also want to pay and leave. It's a long line. And they tell the lady how much she has to pay. It was a lot of money. Well, she takes out her purse and she wanted to pay with cash because she didn't have her credit cards or anything like that. She wanted to pay with cash. You know what cash is? Regular money. Well, she counted out the money and all of a sudden she was $1 short. She was missing $1. She had exactly enough money except for $1. Now, here's the problem. She needs to get one more dollar. Well, what if she doesn't have one more dollar? Then she's going to have to give back something in order not to buy it. But then the cashier is going to have to redo how much money, and it's going to take time. And the people are behind her in line. She doesn't want to get them all upset and nervous. So she said, I have to find another dollar. Well, she looked in another part of her wallet. Hey, a dollar! She found a dollar. And she reaches for the dollar to take it out. Because now she'll have exactly enough money, she'll pay, and then the next person can go. But all of a sudden, as she's taking out the dollar, she sees it's a dollar she got from the Rebbe. Because she had written something down on the dollar, and she knew it was a Rebbe dollar she had gotten from the Rebbe. Oh no, how can I give away a dollar I got from the Rebbe? I want to keep that dollar. But then she thinks to herself, if she doesn't give this dollar, she won't have the dollar. And then she has to now give back something. But that's not the problem. It's just going to take more time and the people will get all upset. And they see it's a Yiddish lady, and she doesn't want to make a whole scene over there, and people get upset that they have to wait, that they should redo the whole thing. And she thought to herself, what would the Rebbe want me to do? Help all those people, or take away their time? Now, this is what the lady decided. I'm not saying right or wrong, I'm not one to judge, but this is what the lady decided with her whole heart. She said, the Rebbe would want me to give away his dollar, even though I want to keep it, in order that I shouldn't take away time from all these people waiting in line. And very reluctantly, but she felt this is what she has to do, she gave that dollar to the grocery store, to the supermarket lady, and she paid and she left. And as she left, she felt upset at herself. How could I have done that? I gave away a dollar I got from the Rebbe, a special, special dollar. But then she thought, but wait, I did it with a good intention, not to make a whole scene and not to make a whole extra time for those people to wait. But she still felt upset that she lost that special dollar she got from the Rebbe. And she came home, and that was it. She thought that was it. And of course, she told her family what she did. You know, a few months later, are you listening? This is a true story. And again, I heard it from somebody that knows the family. A few months later, this woman's son, who was a big boy, was driving his car. And he was going through one of those big long tunnels that you have to pay money. Did you ever go through such a long tunnel that you have to pay money? Yep. Well, he comes to the tunnel, and the tunnel cost $4 to go through the tunnel. Well, he reaches in his pocket. He had a $5 bill. Well, he has to give away the $5 bill to pay the $4. Does he get any money back? How much does he get back?
$1.
$1 he's going to get back. Well, he drives up to the booth there. He gives the $5 bill. They give him back $1. And as he puts it in his pocket, he glances that there's some writing on the bill. He looks at the writing. He notices that this is a Rebbe dollar. This is a dollar that somebody got from the Rebbe. Because it was written on there, 770. It was written on there, this was received from the Rebbe a certain date. And then he looks at the bill closely. He says, wait a minute. This is my mother's handwriting. This is my mother's handwriting. He knew what his mother's handwriting looked like. Kinalach, he brought this dollar home and he showed it to his mother. She says, where'd you get this? I got it as change when I was going through the tunnel, when I paid. She says, this is the dollar that I gave to the supermarket when I was $1 short and I had to give a dollar and I pulled this dollar out of my wallet. This is the same dollar. She got this dollar back now. It went to the supermarket. A few months later, her own son got it back in change from a tunnel and she got her dollar back. And when she found out, when she realized this whole thing happened, she made a whole simcha from her family and friends to tell them the whole story of how, through Hashgacha Pratis, she gave away one of the Rebbe's dollars and she got it back. And that, Kinalach, is the story for today. Tremendous Hashgacha Pratis. We are learning why it says La Asois, to do. Hashem rested from all of his work that he created to do. Like extra to do. What means to do? Say, Hashem rested from all his work that he created. He created the world in the 6 days, and he did all these different kinds of malachas, works. And now he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he created. All of a sudden, to do. We went to lunch, we came back from lunch, we sat down to bench, to do. I mean, what's to do? There was a Roman lady, a very smart Roman lady. It could have been Rufina, because she used to ask questions to Rabbi Akiva. And she went to Rabbi Akiva with one of her smart questions that she wants to know the answer. And she says to Rabbi Akiva, she asks him, is it true that Hashem does in the world whatever he wants? Well, of course. Hashem created the world in such a way that's what he wants, says Rabbi Akiva. Well, she says, the other day in the shul near our house, we saw Jews, a lot of Jews gathering in a shul, and we saw some kind of a big party going on. So we went over and asked, what's going on in this shul? What is the big party? Well, they said, the baby is having a bris milah. So there's a big special meal, a sudas mitzvah, a mitzvah meal, because the baby is having the bris milah. And Rufina and the Roman lady asked the people, what do they do to the baby for a bris milah that they should have a special party and so many people and so much food and everything? Well, there's a piece of skin that's on the baby, and the moil on the eighth day, he cuts off that piece of skin. Well, there's a certain piece of skin that's on a baby boy, not a baby girl, a baby boy. And on the eighth day, the moil takes a special sharp knife, and he makes a special bracha, and the father makes a special bracha, and they cut off that piece of skin that's on the baby. And the Roman woman says, wait a minute. There's a piece of skin that's growing on the baby, and they cut it off? Why don't they leave it on? Oh, no, 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 no. It's a terrible thing if they leave it on. It's called an arla. It's a big aveda. It's against Hashem and against the Torah to leave that skin on. They have to cut it off with a knife. And of course, everybody is very happy because the baby goes in to the bris with Avraham Avinu, the special bris, the covenant, like the special connection to Hashem. And Avraham Avinu was the first one to do it. He did it on himself when he was 99 years old. And the Roman lady says, wait a minute, I don't understand. You're making a party because you're cutting off a piece of skin. Where does that baby get the piece of skin? Oh, he's born with a piece of skin. When he gets born, the piece of skin is right there. It's growing on him even when he was a baby inside the mommy. When he gets born, so he has the piece of skin. The Arla. She says, wait a minute. And then you cut it off? Yeah. And you don't leave it on? Hashem doesn't like it? No, no, Hashem does not like that piece of skin. She says, wait a minute. If he does not like that piece of skin, let him make the baby. Doesn't Hashem make the baby? Yeah, yeah. There are three partners for a baby. A tati, a mommy, and Hashem. Hashem gives the bracha to have the baby. So the woman says, if Hashem does not like the piece of skin, and you said that Hashem does everything in the world the way He wants to, let Him make the baby without the piece of skin. Then He would like the baby because the baby doesn't have the piece of skin. He wouldn't get upset if the piece of skin is there. And you wouldn't have to cut it off because it's not there. I don't understand. Hashem makes the piece of skin. And He doesn't like it. So He says you have to cut it off. And then you cut it off. And you make some big party. And if you would not cut it off and you would leave it there, Hashem wouldn't like it. I mean, I don't understand. Let him not make it if he doesn't want it. You understand the question? If Hashem doesn't like the piece of skin, so why does He make it in the first place? You said Hashem makes the world the way He wants. Let Him make a baby without the arla, without that piece of skin there. Then, later on, when you look at the baby, you wouldn't have to see it. It wouldn't be there in the first place. Ah, you go cut it off? Why does He make you go cut it off? Let Him not make it in the first place. Rabbi Akiva answered, there's a vegetable called termesine. I don't know if you ever had it. I don't know if they have it in the store. In those days, they had it. Termesine is a vegetable. And you have to cook the termesine 7 times. In order to eat it. Now the Roman lady thinks to herself, wait a minute. I'm asking a question about a piece of skin on a baby, and he's answering me a certain kind of vegetable you have to cook 7 times. Does this make sense to you? I'm asking the rabbi about a piece of skin, and he's talking to me about cooking termesine in a pot 7 times. Rabbi Akiva says to the lady, did you ever eat termesine? Oh yes, I love it. It's so delicious. And Rufus also loves termesine. Well, why don't you just serve termesine? Go out in the field, pick the termesine, and serve it raw. Oh no, it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. It's too hard. It's very not good when it's hard. Oh, you can't eat it. I tried it once. Yuck. Well, why do you have to cook it? Well, if you cook it, it makes it better. Well, cook it 1 time and eat it. Nah, it's still not good enough. You have to cook it again. You have to cook it again. You have to cook it 7 times. Oh, it's delicious. Add a little salt. Add a little oil. Oh, we love it, yes. Well, let me ask you something. Let me explain something, Rabbi Akiva says. If the Eibishter knows that termesine tastes good after 7 times, why doesn't he make it come out of the ground just like it's cooked seven times and you eat it straight from the ground? Or let it come out of the ground like it's cooked six times. All you have to do is cook it once. Why do you have to cook it at all? Oh, no, I never thought about that. That's a good, why do I have to cook? Yeah, why do I have to cook? Yeah, sometimes I tell Rufus, why do I have to cook? Well, she probably had to cook, and she asked, why does the cook have to cook? Whatever, because she was a rich Roman lady, and Rufus was a big general. But anyway, why do we have to do those things? And so Rabbi Akiva is answering like this. Hashem did not make the world completely finished. The Eibishter made us to be a partner. Remember I told you? We are a partner with Hashem. He is the big boss. But Hashem is letting us be a little boss. We are also doing things in the world. Not only Hashem gets to do things in the world, but we get to do things in the world. What is better? Mommy feeds you with a spoon? You're a big boy. Mommy feeds you with a spoon, or you feed yourself with your own spoon and fork? How many boys want, even though they're 6 or 7 years old, that mommy has to feed them with a spoon like a baby? She'll put you in the high chair, put a bib on you, and she'll feed you with a spoon. How many boys like to eat, feed themselves, do something themselves? Okay. Now, of course, most of the boys who are not making a joke, they have their hand up. You feel better when you're doing something, and not just something is always being done for you like a baby. The Eibishter did not want us to be babies. He wants us to also do things in the world. So the Eibishter made a skin on the baby. Of course the Eibishter could not make the skin. But he makes the skin, and he says, you have a mitzvah to do something on the eighth day. And you have the moil, and you have all the people, and you have a big party, and a simcha shel mitzvah, and a sudas mitzvah, and you cut off the skin. When you cut off the skin, you are doing something in the world, you're doing a mitzvah, and together with the Eibishter, together, you're a partner, you are fixing and helping, and you are doing something good in the world that Hashem left unfinished. Hashem left a lot of things unfinished. We should finish them. We should do them. Like Rufina cooking. The vegetable grows, but it's not finished yet. She cooks it, it's finished. She has something to do in the world to make the world even better, that this is what Hashem wants us to do. If there's a poor person, he needs money. Could Hashem give him the money? Of course. Wait, why do you have to go over and give him tzedakah? If Hashem knows he's poor, why can't Hashem give him the money? Why do you give him the money? Because when you take from your money and you give the poor person, you have from that a mitzvah, and you're helping in the world to feed a poor person. And even more than that, let's say you get $10. Let's pretend you get $10. How much money did you get for yourself? Well, somebody said $10. No, you got $9. But Rabbi Berstein, you just said that we got $10. Okay, if you get $10, $9 is for you, and $1 in your pocket does not belong to you. If it doesn't belong to me, why did Hashem give it to me? Because Hashem wants you to do something with that dollar. That $1 that is not the $9, but it's the tenth dollar. What does Hashem want you to do with that tenth dollar?
Give it away.
To give it away for what?
Tzedakah.
To give it away for tzedakah. So then you get a mitzvah. Very good. We have things we do in the world. Because we are a little boss in the world. We are a partner with Hashem. Hashem didn't just make the world completely fixed already, and all we have to do is open our mouth like a baby and take in the spoon. We have to do something to be, together with Hashem, a partner in doing something. That's why it says, La'asois.